That's the red light district. Wonder why Savage is hanging out down there.
Sex, Frank?
No, not right now, Ed. We got work to do.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 65, featuring Ron, Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the Girls with Glasses.
Well, at least I still have my books. There's time now. All the time in the... But that's not fair. That's not fair!
Tired of having your expensive glasses smashed in ironic endings? Worried that your spectacles won't last past the apocalypse? It's a problem that over 200,000 post-Armageddon Americans face every year. Well, fret no more. The Institute for Ironic Eyewear Repair is here. Our eager, courteous staff is at the ready to professionally repair your glasses, even here, at the end of the world.
Thanks, Institute for Ironic Eyewear Repair. Now I can get back to what really matters, reading my books and finding food and shelter from packs of hungry mutants.
The Institute for Ironic Eyewear Repair. Just because it's a twist doesn't mean it's an ending. Introduction.
Oh, this again? Is it Oh, this again? Oh, this again. Very well.
And here we start again.
Once again, back is the incredible me. So I got married this weekend.
Yeah, Al is now Ron Algar Smith.
Is that how that goes?
I think so.
Can I drop the Ron? Can I just be like Smith Algar Watt?
Smith Watt?
Yes, that'll do.
Smith a Watt.
Yes. No, and I know we promised you a show from the wedding, and I do apologize for that.
We have a really good excuse.
Well, we were drunk. Is that the excuse?
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the thing. We were sitting at what we will call a reception, just for the sake of brevity, really just us sitting around drinking. And it was me and my child bride and quite a lot of the people you've heard on the show that that we're quite fond of. And I thought, well, this is great. These are funny people. We all have chemistry. This will be wonderful. And I'm kind of getting myself in the mode. I'm trying to get myself geared up because Bob, Mark Bosco, brought a little mini tape recorder. Or not tape recorder. What do they record with now?
A mini recorder?
Ether recorder. I don't even know what media you'd use.
A record into the ether.
Into the substratosphere. And I mean, he brought a little digital recorder, and the idea was we would just record a whole bunch of stuff and then kind of cut it down to the funny stuff. And I'm trying to get my, you know, get the momentum going, like trying to be funny, trying to whatever. And as I'm talking to people, I haven't had a drink in years and years, and I'm having a few drinks, and I'm realizing my vocabulary is slowly slipping away. And I'm telling stories to these guys that are you know, very close to me. They're you know, my favorite people. I really love them. I just about various things, and I'm realizing I'm forgetting words in the middle of stories. I'm saying we went down to the
thing. So what do you call it?
Ice cream place. Yeah, and I'm realizing that this is not going to make a good podcast at all. So I decided instead to have more alcohol. And did anything happen beyond that? I think it was just have more alcohol.
I think you had more alcohol, and then you decided that was working out, so you did it again.
Yes, actually, I didn't drink a tremendous amount.
Oh, that must have been me then.
Did you really? Did you?
Oh shit! Yeah.
Nice, very very nice. There were lots of ridiculous drinks being passed around, and I think my favorite was Bob's Shirley Temple of Doom, as he called it. And I don't remember exactly what was in there, and we'll try to get the ingredients for that for the show notes if anyone's interested.
Mm-hmm.
But that was quite nice.
Irene was thoroughly enjoying a drink that we could only think of to call blue.
It appeared to be Romulan ale or possibly Windex, but she seems to have survived, so I'm guessing it's the former. What else? There was a lot of strangeness happening. My brother was there, my lovely flamboyant homosexual brother, who was just an absolute delight, and hit it off great with quite a few people, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
And he can put them away.
Oh, yes.
He convinced the bartender to make some strange concoction that he calls a Codylicious, which, you know, sorry, I love him. Well, I literally love him like a brother, but not going to drink a Codylicious. Just not going to.
Contains at least 30% actual gay.
Yeah. So, but we went out to dinner with my parents one night, and he orders a pear martini, and I just, he's not afraid to embrace the stereotype. He's just, you know, right out of Sex in the City or something, just, you know, hi, and he's totally cool with that, and I love him for it. So, you know, God bless him. So yeah, the wedding happened. We pulled off our little supervillain themed thing.
It was really cool.
Well, let's rather than me just explaining what we tried to do, let's hear it from you. Like, what was the experience from sort of the outside?
Okay, so we arrived at the Hobo's Enchanted Dungeon.
Yes, the real name of the place I always forget. It's the
Vagabond's Chapel. Enchanted Chapel. It was
right. It's like something you would see in Vegas. It's a fly by night, you know, Chapel O' Love type place, literally right in my backyard. It's like a mile away. But the funny part about the hobo thing is, we're driving there and we're running a little bit late. Mm-hmm. We got the other cars behind us, and I handed Amanda my phone and I said, call them and let her know we're going to be a couple minutes late. And so I have the number on my phone. So she calls information and says, yes, Seattle, Washington. I'd like a listing for the Hobo's Enchanted Trash Can. No, that's not the actual name of it. And I couldn't remember what it was. So,
what was great was I was coming over the border on the way back, and the guy there was like asking me all sorts of questions. I don't know what the problem was, but he's like, where are your friends getting married? I'm like, Hobo's Enchanted Dungeon. I mean, shit.
Just say Seattle. That's all you can say.
No, he already knew I was coming back from Seattle.
Oh, I see. He wanted you to get your story straight.
Yeah.
They had Irene in a separate room asking her too.
Yep.
Lovely. So yeah, we headed out to the Hobo's whatever, and
we arrived there. We took many pictures because, frankly, you need pictures of this place, or people won't believe you.
Yeah, when we set up the albums on Facebook, we had to make a whole separate album for the venue. We had to show people, you know, we didn't want to spoil the effect of us being in it. We wanted to show the loveliness of this just awful, tacky, horrible place.
I actually showed it to my sister. She's like, why would they pick that? It's hideous. I'm like, that's why they picked it.
Yeah, you just answered your own question.
Yeah, I don't see what...
I was driving home from work one day, and I took a slightly wrong turn, and it ended up being another way home. But I see this sign that says Wedding Chapel, and we were kind of thinking about venues. Really didn't want to do a church. Didn't, you know, like, wanted to do something kind of special, but not expensive. And I go, Wedding Chapel? Really? Here? And I look, and it's this bright, what is it, pinkish, purplish...
Picture Barbie doll pink.
Ah, yes, like Dreamhouse.
Yeah.
Barbie.
Like, have you ever gone into the Barbie oil at... the Barbie aisle at Toys R Us, it's just blindingly pink.
Right. And there's some rainbows out there
and
so on and so forth. But inside is just glorious and... wow.
I really love the pile of religion.
Yeah, there was some Buddha, some Jesus, some Allah.
Kermit the Frog.
Some, yeah, a little bit of everything. Just to be sure... either no one is
out there.
Either no one is offended or everyone is offended. Please, an Orthodox Hensonist. Don't be offensive. So yeah, we did that. We picked that place and we figured, well, you know, if we want to do this thing right, we need to dress as something we actually care about. And we decided on supervillains. So. And I did interrupt your thing. I apologize.
Oh yeah, and then you know. Everyone does the sort of gather around, take pictures of everything. Then we got started. The wedding was actually seen over by the woman from Poltergeist.
All right, the same woman, in fact, who was inside the ET suit.
Yes, this house is clean.
Or it may have been Yardley Smith. Now that I think of it.
Oh yeah, maybe.
I always confuse those two because they both don't quite look human to me.
No, well, the woman from Poltergeist is like a foot tall and awful.
True.
Whereas I think Yardley Smith is just one of those.
Well, so we decided she gave us this list of different, you know, ceremonies she could perform. Mm-hmm. There was the Jesus one, and there was like a Jewish one, and there was a Buddhist one. I mean, she covered all the main faiths. And then there's sort of a generic, like, because, you know, we are in hippie land here, sort of a generic spiritual path, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, I don't know. And then we get to the last page, and there's this two-word or like two-sentence thing, but and it's labeled the legally the shortest ceremony I'm allowed to give. And I said, well, she's on my good side already. And I read it. Mm-hmm. And it's her saying, do you two want to be married? And we say yes. And she says, you are. And that's it. That's what we went with. We went with some custom vows. I read something to her. She read something to me. And then that was it. It was over in 5 minutes. It was fantastic.
Which, and you will never, ever, ever hear me say this again. And you're damn lucky it's being recorded so you can use it for blackmail purposes later. It was really sweet.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a very difficult, like, I don't think I quite got what I wanted, but I was close. To be genuinely touching, to hit on our theme of the supervillain thing, and to kind of be funny because I don't know how to write serious things, and to be brief, all of those things together were just complicated, and I think I pretty much did it, but then I didn't even come close to committing it to memory, and so you guys just watched me look down and read from a card for a minute, and it just, that kind of spoiled it, I thought, but, you know. Overall, you guys heard me, and she heard me, and you know, it's all good. So
yes,
and of course, I had to do some shtick before. I had to
ha-cha-cha-cha.
Get up and make a joke about marrying Matt and Orson Welles and so forth, and no laughs at all, crickets. So that was nice. I appreciate.
I enjoyed it, but I was in the back.
Got to play to that audience.
Unfortunately, no one at the wedding apparently listens to this podcast. So.
No, they were supposed to be on it, and so clearly since they weren't, they've abandoned us. So,
yeah, exactly.
So that's fine. You hear that, famous Mark? No, I got nothing. I'm sorry. I can't speak ill of famous Mark, even if I wanted to. No, he was there, and Bob, and Dave, and then you were there, and Irene, and great time. Really, really great time. Chris Page showed up for the reception.
Yep.
Really great time. Any other kind of anecdotes there? I mean, we did that. We went to dinner and then we drank, and I mean, it was nice. It was understated and it was quick, and that was.
I couldn't tell you what sort of happened during the drinking part, except that we were there for like 10 hours.
Yeah, we rolled in when they opened at 4:30, and we basically closed the bar. They closed at 2. I think we rolled out at like 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Do you want to talk about the pillow thing?
No, Matt, I don't want to talk about your pillows. Aren't pillows? No, that was in the Holiday Inn. We had this great those of us who were in the secret sixth floor, we had to put in the special key.
Yes, the decadent sixth floor.
Yeah, where the rooms are exactly the same, only they have a safe. Mm-hmm. That's really the only difference at all.
At one point, you asked Bob if he had a safe, and he did.
And I didn't know where to take the joke from. Yeah. There. It's like, oh,
well, it's like, oh,
get another safe.
Shit.
But the pillows, that you have four pillows on the bed, and two of them, you know, stacked in each sort of column.
Stacked to the heavens.
And stack them to the heavens. And you had a band around them that labeled them either firm or soft. And Bob was sharing a room with Mark, and he thought it would be a delight if you switched them. So he took the firm one off and put it on the soft. And I wasn't there for the payoff, but I just imagine Bob sitting there in the other bed, Mark's lying down. What? What? Nothing. Nothing. You know.
Damn it, stop snickering. I'm trying to figure out why my pillow isn't firm enough. It says firm right on it.
Yeah, this is how we amuse one another, and it's not a slight at Bob, because I thought it was hilarious as well. Mm-hmm. But as I tell this, I realize the listeners are probably, you know.
Well, you know what? Damn it, we enjoyed it.
We did. We did. We enjoy we like stories about
there's nothing we enjoy quite as much as pillow humor.
Well, this, you know, yeah, I got nothing. was there anything else? I'm really trying to struggle. Like I said, this would have been the wedding show. Like this,
yeah,
just us sort of, this happened. This was kind of funny. And this did that. Yeah, it was a very small group of us having a good time. And that was that. So sorry we didn't give you a wedding show, but you can see pictures if you really must. And and you can know that we were all there and had a good time. And now Amanda can stay here in America with me, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
It all came together.
Didn't it just?
Yes.
So you got anything else on that, or can we sort of?
I think that's about it. You know, at the end of the day, it was really just a lot of hanging out and drinking.
Which is exactly what we wanted. We wanted to get our friends
pancakes.
Together. And, oh, so much pancakes.
We ate so fucking many pancakes.
Yep. I delightful, delicious. Wait, you got me saying delightful all the time. I really need to cut that out. It's not one of my favorite adjectives.
My plans come together.
Isn't it? All right.
Is it?
I don't know. What's in the news here? Oh, we got some mail here.
Oh, good.
To answer. We have a question here from actually the guest that you're going to be hearing here shortly, Laura, from the Girls with Something Like Something 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 mm-hmm. cast. I'm not being flip and I'm not being mean. I can't remember. My brain is still kind of winding down from the weekend. Girls with Glasses Talk Tolkien. That's what it is.
Yes.
So I figured it'd be weird asking the question while she's on the show. So we'll take this one now.
All right.
Dear Al, Matt, and guest, what is the trajectory of a throwback?
What is a throwback?
I don't know. Backwards throw with you? No. No, that's horrible. I must be hungover or something. I'm sorry. Listeners, I'm terribly sorry for that.
That, oh.
What I really wanted to say was, is that an African or European throwback? Are you now Googling what that means?
I really need to find out what that means.
I think it's just a bit of nonsense, personally. But
Although I don't think it'll be at throwback.com. What the fuck was I thinking?
I don't know. What the fuck were you thinking?
I don't know. Throwback.
Well, there's the Pepsi throwback, which is just lovely. The when they decide to go back to their old way of using sugar instead of corn.
Yep, that's here. Evolutionary throwback. The throwback, a satirical novel.
Maybe it's that. What's the trajectory of that then?
It says here the trajectory is 8.5.
Wait, I think we could ask our old friend Cleverbot.
Good idea.
Hey, Cleverbot. What is the trajectory of a throwback? Well, now he's thinking. And he asks, what is your opinion of the World Trade Center?
Answer my question with a question, Cleverbot.
I am now telling Cleverbot exactly what my opinion of the World Trade Center is. Yeah, that you have failed, Cleverbot. So,
yeah.
Laura, what have you decided, Matt? It's 17?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with 17.
17. It's 17.
17 degrees.
Yes, Fahrenheit. All right. Another question here specifically for Matt. This comes from Travis, who was on our show previously.
Very well.
He heard us talking a couple of weeks ago that you play D&D, and he wants to know what edition you're playing. So
I play 4th edition because it's easiest. The big thing with all D&D games is that if you break it down enough, it's basically math, which I'm terrible at. So 4th edition takes that and makes it simple enough for a retard like me to play.
See, what I've found the couple of times in high school that I tried playing D&D and other sort of role-playing games, I never disliked them. I never had anything against them. It wasn't like, ew, those guys are nerds. Like, I'm not that kind of nerd, typically.
Mm.
We're all nerds. That's cool. But I just, typically when I would try to play, I would end up with the math guys, the ones that really obsessed over, you know, really calculating all the finer points of every little thing. And it was a bunch of shouting out numbers, and it wasn't fun to me.
Yeah, none of that shit ever interests me.
But a couple of times I played with actually a few guys we've had on the show, Jason Ellis, Famous Mark, and a couple other people who were like theater nerds in school and really just played RPGs to play as an excuse to do like improv theater.
Yeah.
Like the DM or GM would sort of guide you through a plot, but mostly it was about interacting with each other in character, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you get funny guys and you're trying to sort of improv comedy off of each other. That was a blast.
That was the best. The best time I ever had playing any kind of role-playing game was when I ran a Call of Cthulhu campaign for Amanda and Sabrina.
Ah, nice.
That went really well, and it basically just gave me an excuse to do my creepy horror crap that I normally just put on Twitter in greater amounts.
So you're writing Lovecraft fanfic, basically.
Yeah, but exactly.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And you guys, if I'm not mistaken, set that during the get on the trolley days? In the
1920s, 1930s.
Wow, that's 23 Skidoo there.
Many a Tommy gun was fired.
Awesome. Fantastic. And a tentacle flared, I imagine.
Many a trolley was got on.
Speaking of Sabrina, she coincidentally enough also got married the same day that Amanda and I did to her American fiance, so congratulations to her.
Yeah, congratulations, Sabrina.
And then it was her birthday the next day. It's like, yeah, Sabrina Day. So
yep,
good for her. Glad to hear it. Everything went well, and now she's in Iowa. So apart from that, glad to hear everything's working out for you, Sabrina.
Yep.
Hope you get out of Iowa soon.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Enjoy potatoes.
Potatoes are lovely. No, that's I. Wait. No, that's
iodine.
That's Idaho.
Oh, whatever. What's Iowa then? What do they have?
Corn.
Corn and dirt.
And Captain Kirk one day.
Oh yeah.
Will be born there. So
future birthplace of James Tiberius Kirk.
Right. Let's see. Next question comes from Ted Bigsby. He's a guy who's chimed in recently and apparently he's become quite a fan. I don't know how we work that, but it's pretty great.
Awesome. That's fine.
Yeah. It's lovely to hear from people that I didn't know prior to doing this who jump on and apparently marathon all 60 plus of our shows in a brief period of time and have all these insights and questions and like, well, thanks, dude. But I don't remember what the hell you're talking about.
I really can't process that. And it's weird because I do the same thing when I get on a new podcast. But just like thinking about people. Yeah, I spent the last 3 days listening to you guys talk about whatever it is you talk about.
Sure, that felt thing was great and fish fucking. And like, yeah, I guess we did talk about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did talk about that one time.
Incidentally, if anybody out there wants to transcribe the show, you're insane. But please do it because I'm having a real trouble remembering anything we do. I don't know what the first part of the show was, and that was only 20 minutes ago. So, so yeah, if
that,
someone
that would have that would have been about your wedding, dude. I got married this weekend.
Well, no, I got the ring to remind me of that. That's that's basically the only reason.
Never mind the person who's living with you.
Well, no, she left the room and completely out of my mind now. Who the hell? What? I have no idea, but I'm wearing a ring, so I obviously got married.
Or robbed someone who had been married.
Yeah, also that. Ted Bigsby writes, "Dear Podcratricians, is that how that's pronounced?
Podiatricians?
Podcrustaceans? Having recently going on a Muppet movie marathon, that's tough, Muppet movie marathon, I was curious as to what your favorite supporting cast Muppet was. I guess it was probably Statler and Waldorf. Well, you'd guess correctly. For me, it was Beaker because I like to think he was a brilliant genius, but I'm unable to speak to tell Bunsen that he's a git. Thanks, Ted." Matt, you want to feel that one first?
Favorite Muppet?
Favorite supporting Muppet.
Not
the not any of the main guys, but sort of the incidental guys. We talked about our favorite Muppet. I do remember this. Yours was Rolf and mine, I think, was Kermit.
Yeah.
But I think he's talking about like the lower
favorite
tier guys.
Supporting Muppet.
You know, like guys like the Swedish Chef or like Lou Zealand or guys like that.
Damn.
And those two, incidentally, would definitely be in the running. I mean, Waldorf and Sally, he nailed it. That's definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Beaker, I have kind of an emotional problem with because once in back in the dark days of the 80s when I was in middle school or high school, I decided it would be a good idea to spike up my hair. You can see where this is going.
Oh.
Yeah, that did not end well. And I my hair was too long for it is the gist of it. I spiked up like 4 inches of hair.
Oh.
And so, yeah, they call me Beaker for quite some time after that. And all things considered, that's a pretty light, you know, I got off pretty light.
Yeah, but
but it did look ridiculous. That's
rough.
Yeah. We all have our crosses to bear and, you know, meep, meep, meep. So so there's that.
Favorite supporting Muppet? Damn.
You need to look at a list of them, maybe?
It's weird because, like, you know, I never really considered supporting Muppets. It's just like, you know, what's your favorite Muppet? Well, Rolf, obviously.
Sure, but I mean,
never had to give it any more thought than that.
But I mean, he's got a point. There are guys who don't really get the stage and don't like when they make the movies. You might see him in the background for a couple of minutes, but you don't see Sam the Eagle for more than 30 seconds. I mean,
that's true. I do like Sam the Eagle.
I do as well.
I wouldn't go that as far to say he's my favorite, but I really dug like my favorite Muppet movies. Muppets Take Manhattan was the one I watched the most of when I was a kid. I really liked the Miscellaneous Rats.
Yeah. Those are nice. Not like, Rizzo, but all his.
No, he was the one that stuck around, but there was like 10 of them.
Uh-huh.
And they do this sort of neat beatbox thing in the kitchen at one point that I really dug.
Yeah, I remember.
So maybe not my favorite, but definitely something I'm most fond of.
I that's also my favorite for the same reasons. Not even because it's the best one, just because I watched it the most. My brother, who's like your age, just watched the hell out of it. And I was usually in the room, so I ended up watching it with him. And it's quite good.
Had the frogs that run the soap or the marketing company.
Ocean breathe soap for people who don't want to stink.
Hey, that's good, Phil. How do you feel, Gil? I feel pretty good. How do you feel, Jill? Well, I feel pretty good. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, I kind of need a job.
I tell you, when I was at, well, he would have been 4 or 5, so I would have been 12 or 13. When I would see the end of that movie with all the Muppets in the chapel, and I think I've mentioned this before at the wedding, I would just kind of tear up and then feel kind of weird that I was tearing up. And yeah, it's a whole, you know, I just get emotional about Muppets. I guess that's what it is.
Well, I've said this before too. The saying goodbye song when the Muppets break up.
Oh, yeah.
Is the saddest song I know.
I suppose that's true. So, so on and so forth. Another question from Ted. He wrote quite a few. We'll be answering additional questions from him when the guests arrive.
Long into the night.
No, he didn't flunk us. He's just, but there are a few questions here. We haven't checked the mail in a few weeks. We built up a buffer before the wedding as I had a few things to take care of. And this is our first time back for 2 or 3 weeks. So
yeah.
I don't want to give the impression that Ted is, you know, overwhelming us with questions. It's probably like a question a week. It's just, we haven't gotten to these for a while. So.
Yeah.
Dear Podcastronauts, that's a good one. I wasn't real clear on the last one, but Podcastronauts is solid.
Yeah.
I like that one. Do you think Ted Turner was making some sort of commentary in the Captain Planet when he had, I know the names, but I'll use countries for this, USA have the power to burn things, but the Soviet Union, and China had wind and water, respectively, both of which could hold USA in check? I bet he was trying to promote them working together to make some sort of perpetual motion steam engine. Gracias, Ted. P.S. What kind of power is heart? Mati. I can talk to animals. Wheeler. Fuck that. I can set them on fire. Mati. Oh, I can hear their screams. That's pretty good.
What was the question again?
If Ted
Turner trying to make it a metaphor?
Yeah, if Captain Planet had some sort of deep political, like beyond the obvious, you know, give a care about the environment, if he was trying to give a care. Yes. If he was trying to make some kind of uber political, you know, like statement about, you know, countries and so forth.
I don't think a TV show that is about villains who own pollution factories can really be that subtle.
No, I think you're making the same mistake that I made, doing my little robot reviews, and a mistake a lot of us make as adults watching stuff from when we were kids. We try to read more into it than what's really there.
Yeah, Captain Planet was many things. Subtle was not one of them.
No, definitely not. Speaking of things from our childhoods, we need to really avoid the standard, you know, pre-written nerd jokes here because this is just too easy. But apparently the Ninja Turtles film franchise is relaunching in the care of Michael Bay.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, yeah, okay, he fucked up Transformers, blah, blah, blah. And I would love to make, I have made many jokes and I could continue to, but I realize you probably heard them all. And, you know, you probably heard the topless robot guy and all the other guys make the exact same statements. I just want to say, that's all I want to say. You being this is, more of a turtle fan, I'm curious.
Yeah, this is gonna hurt me like Transformers hurt you.
See, Transformers didn't really hurt me is the thing. My sentimental attachment is to those cartoons, and they didn't change.
So, like when you first heard that they were doing a Transformers movie, like were you excited? Were you?
I was cautiously optimistic.
Because
my thought was, can you not repeat that? Did you just catch yourself trying to say coptically cautious?
Yeah, I think I might have caught dyslexic.
Oh. All right. Well, maybe you drank yourself dyslexic.
It's possible. Wouldn't be the first time.
Very well, then. No, what my thought was at the time when they announced it was 2004, 2005, something like that, when it went into pre-production was awesome. CG will make those robots look great. I wonder if it'll have a story. And the more I saw of it, the less I liked. And once
you were wrong on both accounts.
Well, once I saw the design that they were going with, I was like, "Well, this really isn't for me." But I wasn't angry. I really didn't get that fanboy rage because my thought is Transformers in particular, but most things that we like have taken many forms. Like,
oh yeah,
there was Beast Wars, there was all the other spin-offs, And a lot of people really enjoy those, and I just didn't. And I said, you know, every time it comes out, it's kind of a little different. Kind of like Hitchhikers, where every time, every version is something just a little bit different. And some of them are great, and some of them are less good. And, you know, I can still like the thing I like in the 80s. And the Bay thing, I think, is utter crap. But there's some people who like it, so that's fine.
But no, those people are wrong, but...
I tried to watch it, and I got 45 minutes in, and there weren't any robots yet, and I gave up. That's all there was to it. And you'll probably get the same with the Turtles, where it'll just be about guys for an hour, and then they'll say, oh, and here's some turtles, except we don't like turtles, so they're something else.
I mean, due to my giant crush on April, I mean, even that would be fine, but he'll probably find a way to fuck that up.
Well, if he cast Toe Thumbs as April, that would pretty much do it.
That ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, well, you never know.
You heard she got dumped from 3, right?
I did, and I think it might have been the Topless Robot guy or one of those snarky nerd blog guys said, it's really not a good idea when someone says you're a tyrant on the set to disprove that you're a tyrant by firing someone who calls you a tyrant. So maybe he'll realize that and back up. I don't know. Or he seems to like hideous whores, so I mean...
Yeah, not, that's problematic.
If not her, then probably someone else. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But
Someone else with a horrible finger deformity.
I am curious if what your initial reaction to that is, being a Turtles fan.
I saw Transformers, so you know, I'm just like,
fair enough. Let's field one more question here, and then we'll save the rest for when the guests arrive. This one comes from Fourth Man, from Chris, and he writes, "Dear Alan, Matt. Have any of you met your heroes? Have you ever met someone for whom you were their hero? The most positive and negative examples of each, if you would."
I'm actually kind of scared to actually meet anyone that I actually regard as a hero. You know, it's just that sort of, you meet them and they're a real person.
Yeah, I don't know. I've met, I wouldn't say my heroes, but people I definitely admire. And I think, you know, celebrities are larger than life or whatever. And I never know what to say to them. Like, yeah, I sure like you. I guess freeze up. I'm not nervous. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, exactly.
I've met a couple of comics guys that I like and shake their hand and say, all right, bye.
Like a lot of, when I went to Emerald City Con, a lot of comic guys that I really like were there and I couldn't talk to any of them because it's just like, well, what do you say?
Right. Exactly.
The same thing when I went and saw Patton Oswalt live for the first time, because it's like, oh, he'll be around. I could, you know, if I go to a local bar, I'd probably run into him. But, you know, what do you say to him? Yeah. I love you so much. It was so funny when you talked about the chicken.
Exactly. And
that will endear me to him thoroughly.
And that's one of the reasons I kind of like stuff like Twitter, where you can sort of calculate a response. You can answer on their own terms. Like, you told a joke, I'm telling a joke back. Mm-hmm. And if they like you, they'll respond. And we've both gotten that from time to time. And it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But meeting them in person, you really wouldn't get that, because you wouldn't. Probably wouldn't be at your full capacity. You wouldn't, you know, be on and, you know, that kind of thing.
So, I mean, I'm not great around people a lot of the time, you know, add the pressure of it being someone I actually respect and, you know.
Sure. But as far as heroes go, I can't say that I have a lot.
No.
With you. most of them are dead, unfortunately. either writers that I've respected or admired or really wanted to be like, or somebody like that. I think probably at this point, if I met Stephen Fry, I would probably just collapse in a heap and you know, kiss his feet or something. But as far as the other half of the question, anyone who sees us as heroes, I hope.
I actually, I used to babysit a kid with Asperger's back in high school, and I ended up on a list of...
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
That was weird.
That is weird.
Of course, his Asperger's made him sort of obsessed with Nintendo games, so I was compared to Mario.
Well, you're in good company there. I mean,
it's true.
That's did you just say it's true?
I know.
We're just falling back into that whole
thing. I didn't even mean, like, it wasn't intentional or anything. It was just, I was just trying to talk.
Not even being ironic, just indicating that something is true.
What you just said was a thing that I agree with. Maybe I'll try saying that from now on.
What you just said is a thing I agree with. Very well, then. Okay, so yeah, we'll save the rest of these questions for Jesse and Laura, who will be with us shortly. I'm sure we'll mention this many times while they're on, but just in case, Girls with Glasses Talk Tolkien, the link will be in the show notes, of course. The brief secret origin of their show is they wanted us to talk about Tolkien. We said, no, we don't want to crap on something you like.
Because we don't like Tolkien.
Yeah, and we don't want to talk for an hour about something we don't like, because yeah. we don't want to do that to them. So, sort of jokingly, sort of seriously, we said, well, why don't you make your own show? And they did.
They showed us.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't speak to the content, because I have no idea what they're talking about. But as far as presence and being funny and all that, they're great chicks. As you'll hear, they're quite fun to talk to, and look forward to that. One final bit of business here. We had requested during our Go Lizza show that someone write us a song about Go Lizza, mm-hmm. and or the Go Lizza, as Bob said. Someone did.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of ours named Jeremy, who is a musician who has his own podcast as well, has sent me a demo. I think since he's labeled it a demo, I'm not going to share it just yet, because I think he intends to go write a second verse and actually record it with his actual band.
Which is insanely cool.
Yeah, but even if it just dies here, even if he decides he's too busy or doesn't want to come back to it or whatever, this version of it is awesome. And it's above any of the crap that I've done with GarageBand or, you know, I mean, as much as I love the Scott Zioko stuff, you know, that was specifically to taunt someone. And I think he kind of like when a mother gets super strength to lift a car. I don't know that Scott's normally a musician. I think just his desire to beat Annie gave him suddenly musical aptitude, and then you know,
we've all been there.
Sure. And then he lost it again. So, mm-hmm. but this was a calm, well thought out, you know, plotted song about Galiza, and I hope to share it with you in the coming weeks as Jeremy finalizes this. So, Jeremy, thanks for that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that people do things that we ask them to do. It's not something we're really used to.
Yeah.
So, all right. With that said, we will now get on with the actual show, and that's that.
Panel discussion.
Right, our guests this week are a couple of chicks we have promised to have on the show for quite some time, and just haven't been able to line things up. We finally got them. Jesse and Laura of the Girls with Something or Other Talk. Some damn. Guys, I'm really worn out from the weekend. I'm not crapping on your podcast at all. I'm just drawn. I completely drew an actual blank there. Girls with Glasses Talk Tolkien podcast.
No excuses. None at all.
Look, listen. I had a rough weekend, okay?
I doubt you could ever forget anything with glasses, really, no.
Oh, no, I got the glasses.
The girls right with the girls with glasses part's easy to remember.
Yeah, but then I didn't want you to think I was you know, being mean to the rest of it, and so I just kind of stopped there. But no.
Girls.
Well, there's another podcast that consistently says it wrong, so I guess we're not that picky.
Girls with glasses talk about the Wheel of Time.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I still, to this day, I heard you guys correct the pronunciation. I say Tolkien. I'm sorry. Tolkien just does not sound correct to me. I know that it is, but it's one of those things where I just deliberately do it wrong because it sounds better. So,
mm-hmm.
I honestly, subconsciously kind of flip back and forth between them without even realizing that I'm doing it. So
I think I do too. Yeah, it's widely used incorrectly, so it's not one of those glaring mistakes.
Well, you know, and the way things work, you know, sort of in culture is if people keep doing something wrong, it becomes right. So
yeah. Eventually, we'll be proven to be the ones who are correct.
Yeah. If we keep.
And Tolkien will be called Bob.
If we keep insisting Gene Wilder is dead, one day he will actually be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mark my words. May he rest in peace. But no, we've been meaning
to. You're a prophet.
I'm like one of those great vague, you know, like shopping mall Nostradamuses where it's like one day there will be a war. And a president will fall, and some stuff is going to happen. That'll be $10.
In the near future, a lesser-known celebrity will die of something.
Well, apparently we killed Gary Coleman.
Yeah, we did do that.
I hope you're proud of yourselves.
I am. I'm damn proud of myself.
I'm aiming for Webster next.
Well, you know, honestly, I didn't see anything about Panthers in the in the news coverage, but you know, nobody's denied it at this point either. So.
I don't remember the exact story. I know when we had Mike D on, we talked about Manimal. We talked about a lot of things, but I remember throwing Gary Coleman was involved at some point. We were actually tossing his body at something,
And it was probably a panther, knowing us.
Could have been. I don't know. We went a lot of strange places. Mike D took us to strange, fascinating new places. So
vistas.
It's difficult to say.
It's a whole new world.
Is it?
I don't know.
Oh. I think it's the same world, but with panthers.
And no more Gary Coleman.
Yes.
We look for that this summer from Marvel Comics, World Without Gary Coleman. but you ladies do your own podcast about the Lord of the Rings dude, and I definitely wanted to give
a formed little... from spite.
Yeah, formed out of us saying no, God no, and you saying, well, fine, we'll do our own, and then you did.
We did.
Yep, and, we totally did.
And it wasn't just one of those half-assed, we'll throw one together and then give up. You've done how many now? Five?
Yes. We just celebrated our fifth anniversary.
Awesome. We did, yes. Fantastic. And everyone knows five's the best number anyway, so
this is what I've heard.
Shit.
It is, yeah.
I have no opinion on numbers, so basically I'll do what you tell me. If you say five is the best number, all right, five's
awesome.
Good.
Yeah, I know eight is a magic number. Or no, is it three? Yeah, eight.
Well, if you turn eight on its side, it's infinity, but it's also boobs. So, I mean, that's pretty fantastic.
So, I think it's probably awesome either way, then.
Yeah. It is.
I
only there was a way for infinite boobs.
Have you met Jesse? Oh. Sorry, was that too far? Was that over the line? I apologize.
No, it's
you're both quite lovely, rather well-endowed ladies, and I have a very hard time not pointing this out. I apologize, and I don't mean to be tasteless. I just can't help myself.
We're sexy babes. What can I say?
We are.
And you wear glasses.
We do.
So, mm-hmm. You know, talking to
you. So now you realize why Al has lured you onto the podcast.
2 days after I got married. Is this really a good idea?
Who cares?
Fortunately, I one of the people that helped me celebrate, the whole thing is romantically attached to Laura. So that eases things a little bit. It's kind of a presence there, kind of a lurking, looming, don't even think about it yet. Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
So there's that. He'll beat you with his cane.
He will. I had my own cane, though. Although
you did.
Although he was much more well practiced with his. He can.
Yeah. Not a single cane fight.
No, it was a little disappointing.
That's a shame.
But I mean, he does this thing where he sort of hangs it over his arm, and when he gets up to go smoke, he like flips it up and catches it, and like I'm like stumbling with mine, trying to push elevator buttons with it, dropping it, poking people in the eye. I mean, there's a. You definitely need some time to get used to the cane and the heft of it, and
Well, you accidentally impaled that waiter.
Yeah, well,
pimping ain't easy.
Is it a pimp thing? Because
I don't know. Pimps have canes, right?
Yeah, like, but
I'm gonna
slap
you with my pimp cane.
Do they?
All pimps may have canes, but not all cane havers are pimps.
Wow.
I don't know. He looked pretty pimp.
It's like
in his suit and his mask.
First year logic there. How did you know that was me?
I assumed it was.
It was a dude in a mask.
Whatever. Red facial hair, but that clouds my judgment.
Yeah, what? Everybody with red hair just that wears a mask is me. That's a little bit, Harris.
Was that
you were? You were. It was pictures of you marrying your fiance, so I thought that it was probably a pretty good guess.
That could be anyone. Marrying my fiance.
Powers of deduction at work.
And I did spend the afternoon tagging that person as me, so I certainly hope it's me at this point.
This is just to further the ruse.
My clicking finger's awfully tired. Oh boy. So we got some questions here. Some of them,
yep.
Some of them just for us and generic guests. Some of them specifically for you guys. But figured you would enjoy answering some mail with us. You do that on your own show.
Mm-hmm. We do. Your mail.
I don't know who started calling it that. It may have been me for all I know. But people won't stop calling it that.
Well, I know Blandy called it your mail.
Ah, well. He's been to war. You got to respect that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He likes to poop a lot, too.
I think there's a book, Everybody Poops.
Everybody. But
especially Blandy. That was the appendix.
Especially Blandy.
No, that was the colon, dear. Not the appendix.
Oh,
you're fired.
I quit. Okay. Our first question comes, from Liz Ladner, from Annie. And she writes, Dear Al, Matt, and whoever. I guess that's you guys, whoever.
Whomever.
Journey is pretty terrible. Oh, that's awesome. There's more here. Unless you're drunk and everyone knows all the words, then they're terribly awesome. I don't believe that. This is not a question. Fan favorite, Annie Ladner. P.S. I would recommend hard hats. You guys seem surprisingly unprepared for drop bear attacks.
That is true.
Oh.
It's a daily concern.
Actually, I had this conversation with Annie not too long ago, and so I am very prepared for drop bear attacks.
I'm really unfamiliar with what a drop bear is. I think I know fictionally, but do they exist in actual life?
Hundreds of people are killed by drop bears every minute.
So is that bears dropping on your head from a great height, or are they pooping on your head from a great height?
Are they parachuting, maybe? I'm picturing like koala bears with tiny little parachutes.
Like, oh, are they like high altitude, low open bears? Like halo bears? Like army ranger bears?
I think you'll find they're parapandas.
Parapanda pants? Well, Laura's the self-proclaimed expert among the four of us, so let's hear what you got.
They are bears that hide in trees, and then you walk underneath the tree on your merry little way, and they drop on your head and eat you.
Okay, but what kind of a bear are we talking? Are we talking like a little koala bear or like a big grizzly?
I don't think a grizzly can stay in a tree for very long.
I'm sure they come in varying sizes. You can have like your teacup drop bear all the way to your massive oversized giant drop bear.
Wow.
Like the Great Dane of drop bears.
Like a polar bear.
Yes.
Some of them are launched from huge eagles.
The drama drop bear.
Or from hawks like Manimal.
Ooh.
That kind of ties back into our whole like overarching Manimal theme of a hawk swooping by and dropping a bear on you. Wow.
Nature's deadliest flying earth sign.
So then how does one actually prepare for a drop bear attack?
You either A, get a hard hat, as Annie suggested, or never walk under trees.
That's probably going to be better because I've seen a grizzly bear and, like, you know, a hard hat ain't going to stop anything.
Well, there's that, but also, I mean, I live in Seattle, which is a rather eco-conscious city. We're actually known as the Emerald City, apparently, not for Wizard of Oz reasons, but because we have a lot of green, a lot of trees. And I don't know that I could not walk under a tree. There's usually a tree very nearby. I mean, if I'm worrying about bears, I'm going to be super paranoid, and you're basically turning me into a shut-in.
Yeah, but all the bears in Seattle were hunted to extinction years ago.
Were they?
Yeah.
By whom?
Like the turtles, they were too delicious to live.
This was a great story on the British show that I love, QI, hosted by Stephen Fry. Apparently, I think this was during Darwin's time when they took the beagle around cataloging new species. They had this giant turtle that they took back with them, bringing them back to England, I guess, to catalog. And then someone discovered that it was super delicious. And so they kept going back for these turtles to bring them back, and they kept eating them before they got back and tossing the shells overboard because they were just incredibly delicious, and they ate them to extinction. So this turtle was completely devoured before they even came up with a scientific name for it. I love that story. There's something just beautifully horrible about that.
Kind of makes me sad, y'all.
Scientific name was eventually Tortellus Delicicus.
And I was seriously just like groping in my brain for something like that, and I failed.
Well, failure. See, that's what co-hosts are for, or in my case, Matt, because that's all I could come up with.
Well, I have to say that I'm going to go with a hard hat because I refuse to let drop bear attacks make me live in fear.
Good for you.
I'm not going to do it. Fuck those guys.
Because once you start living in fear, the drop bears win.
Yes.
You very nearly caught yourself saying one of our delightful catchphrases, didn't you?
Maybe.
We covered this in the introduction to the show, actually. You know, sometimes things are true. We've decided that we just need to look past it and
especially when it concerns a drop bear attack.
Right. But I mean, sometimes things are true and sometimes things actually never not happen. I mean, we're going to have to stop being scared of that as well and stand up, and otherwise the catchphrases win, right?
Oddly enough, things are never not true less than they are. Wait. Yeah. Things are never.
Someone's going to have to draw us a pie chart or a Venn diagram or something. And put a little drop bear at the bottom of it.
I'm lost.
That's all right. We're doing our job. I don't know that I could wear a hard hat in any case because all the humans on the Transformers cartoon wore hard hats, and I just found that profoundly strange. I mean, I've seen what hard hats look like in normal, like driving a car, going to a store. It just looks strange. I can't see myself doing that. It's not a fashionable accessory. It's not a, you know.
Well, what if we spray painted it purple for you or something?
Yeah.
I don't think that would matter.
No?
It's not the color so much as the cut.
What if it was a custom fitted
maybe
hard
like
hat?
Maybe like a motorcycle helmet. That would be all right.
Does it have to be a hard hat? I mean, could you have like a really kick-ass bike helmet?
Yeah, exactly. That's what
I mean, bike helmets are not ever really kick-ass, but...
A bicycle helmet?
Isn't that generally what
those always look good on the go.
Yeah,
I suppose just a hard head encasing of some sort. Hmm.
I have a friend who just got a bike helmet that has like it has a watermelon print on it.
So she's I'm
she's
sold.
She's like a melon head.
So she looks like she was at a Gallagher show and didn't clean up afterward?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Pretty much.
Very classy.
Gallagher's greatest nemesis.
Yeah, I mean, if you say, you know, I'm a Gallagher fan, what other better, like, cultural shorthand is there for I'm a classy babe than I love Gallagher?
Watermelon helmet? If there is one, I don't know what it is.
What would that be, Matt? Watermelon mitt? No?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm trying to anticipate your moods here. And
I don't know. Watermelon mitt sounds good to me.
Very well. All right, moving on. Our next question comes... Oh, God. It's from Flonk.
God damn you, Flonk.
Oh. Everybody gets one.
Oh, one?
Unless they're us, and then they get 1 billion.
Actually, I'm curious, because when we had Chuck and Mal on, they pointed out that Flonk has been sort of gnawing away at their show. Are you guys getting the full brunt of Flonk, or do you get off light, or how does that...
We got a couple, but generally because we're a fairly themed show, he shies away from us.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we don't get a ton of stuff from him.
I figured he would just ignore the theme and ask you, you know, dumb questions.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, the ones he does ask are pretty random.
Well,
so,
but you know, variety is the spice of life, so you know, it's okay on a limited basis.
We welcome our occasional Flonk question.
Yes,
occasional.
We get way
spreading
more questions
across podcasts like a virus.
Yeah, you guys are far more generous and forgiving than we are because. You know, just...
We haven't gotten an inbox with, like, 70 questions from one person yet.
Yeah, so...
You will.
All right. Well, this question... In fact, this question has to do with Star Trek, so you guys probably are just going to, like, but here we are. Since Nero went back in time and made it so that TNG never happened, is Data's head still in that mine shaft? No.
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah.
Yeah or no?
No, I am agreeing with you. Probably not.
Very well.
No.
All right, then.
Of course,
I mean,
we won't know for
sure. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We won't know for sure until we actually get to the TNG era of this new universe, but I'm saying right now, probably not.
I think wild animal chewed on it.
Very well.
Like dragged it away to its nest.
Yes. A drop bear chewed on it.
So after it drops out of the tree, it goes hangs out in mine shafts?
Isn't that what you do?
That's where they go to die.
When I drop out of trees, which is rare. I mean, every 7 or 8 years tops. I'm really not a big tree dropper.
I do it all the time. Yeah, I do on weekends. Yeah,
everyone knows that mine shafts are the elephants' graveyards for drop bears.
That was impressive. And he says, "P.S. Is that the same mine shaft where they stashed the DeLorean?"
That would be awesome.
But no.
Yeah, probably.
That was the Delgado mine in Northern California. And I think
where's Hill Valley?
I think it's in Northern California. Well, I don't know.
Could happen.
It might be near San Francisco, and that's where Data's head was. So possibly, but I don't want Flonk to be right. So
stranger things have happened.
Like what? Name three.
Rained frogs once.
It never rained frogs.
Plague of locusts. What?
No. If we're accepting the Bible as fact, then we're going in a whole strange direction here.
It rained drop bears once.
No, it's rained drop bears more than once, sir.
Well, they didn't come out of the trees. They dropped directly out of the sky.
Drop bears keep falling on my head.
It's raining drop bears. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Nice. You guys say we never sing.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Next question comes from Deke Winsome. All right. And he says, "Dear people, how are you? I am fine. Hi, like the classics. Thank you for your podcasting skillery? Is that a word?
Skullery?
No, skillery.
Skillet nap?
S-K-I-L-L-A-R-Y. Skillery.
All right.
I'll buy it.
You filled a void in my life that was left once I broke my raging meth addiction. Or maybe it was donuts. Oh. I have some questions for you. First, why didn't you say hi to me at Billy Ickenberg's birthday party?
Jerk. You didn't say hi?
Everybody was there, dude.
Actually, no, that was not me. That was the other guy with red hair and a beard. So,
Are you wearing a mask then? Because that would explain why it was
confusing. That guy?
I was actually wearing a drop bear mask and a hard hat. I didn't say hi because I was in disguise.
And, of course, I was too busy eating the cake.
Right.
Oh, you guys, I really want some cake right now.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, if Galiza's around, I guess.
I fucking Galiza.
I got nothing.
How do they work?
Second, if Robot Matt and Algar were combined into a single entity, what would be its ultimate goal? Destruction of the universe? Cancellation of Glee? What?
Escape.
Is that what we're calling it now? Combining into a single entity? That's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much better than what we call it. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing.
I just assumed world domination. Yeah. I mean, isn't that what everybody's trying to do?
World let me tell you. World domination, it works on TV. But really, think about the logistics of actually dominating the world and having to, like, micromanage all the crap that goes on the whole planet. It'd just be a hassle, man. I mean,
it sounds like so much work.
Right. You want to conquer an area you can see and you can control and you can keep, you know, under your heel. The world is just too much.
I've always said I wanted to rule Sweden.
Now there you go. That's a reasonable goal.
Yeah, just Sweden.
Modestly populated. They got resources. They got
modestly hot country.
Although that Sweden does seem a little chilly for you. I would think you'd go somewhere.
Well, I don't think that you would do well in Sweden.
See, I have a theory. I would have my ice callus passel thing, and I would have lots of
ice callus passel thing.
Dude, how much wine have you had?
I've had some
question.
Very well.
No, but I would have lots of loincloth, heavily Swedish muscled men, and they would have fires, and I would be warm.
I be your co-ruler?
You may. Fuck yes.
Nice. And see, the only way that Matt and I will share power is if we're combined into a single entity. I mean, you guys will share, but there's no chance we will.
Are we a single entity?
Apparently. I guess.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, you know, in this hypothetical question, we have to be combined into one person. Whereas you two are completely willing to share as separate individuals.
Well, sharing is caring, and caring is love, and that's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have any of that.
No. There's far too much rhyming in there for my tastes. Third.
Science, of course, states that if something rhymes, it's automatically true.
That's science.
That's why That's why nothing about oranges is actually a fact.
That's right.
Fucking oranges with bananas.
Let's not get into that. Third, do you get sick of people asking you stupid questions, and if so, why?
If we thought we got sick of people asking us stupid questions, we'd have given this crap up long ago.
Yeah, we would have to fold up shop and wait. No, shut down shop.
Close up shop.
Close up the doors and fire everyone.
There you go. No,
but the codcast kept coming out.
Codcast?
The codcast kept coming out.
Is that like a fish fry cast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Finn just freeze the cod and add a crumb crisp coating.
That's tough.
How about you? Let's turn this around on you guys. You guys have your own show. Do you get sick of people asking you stupid questions?
Yes, I do. I will come right out and say it. Yes.
All right. Well, you want to expand on that, or you want to just stay with your yes?
I'm just going to stay with my yes.
All right.
What I will say for our listenership is that for every dumb question, we get a lot of actually really thoughtful, thought-provoking questions, even the ones that kept talking about the Keebler elves during Elfcast.
Yeah.
But seriously, you guys, it was so funny. Every single one tied in the Keebler elves and the elves from the North Pole. It was so funny.
Well, you know, with someone who's not as familiar with the subject matter that you have, I mean, I personally struggled, well, elves, what elves do I know? And, you know, I didn't have that many, so.
Well, you know, it's interesting, the you know, impact that it's had on popular culture. I thought it was fun. You know, yeah.
I guess for every
dumb question we get lots of really, really good questions. So
good.
Not so much the stupid questions as the really wordy ones that get to me.
What, like Ramon's questions?
Yes.
I loved it, but god damn it.
You don't have to read them.
Yeah, I get that
like
too.
Four since, paragraphs, you yeah, guys.
Since I'm the one reading the questions out, I can definitely relate to that. We had a few weeks ago, we had Michael Charles Hill on, which was quite an honor for me, quite a big deal. And
a good show, by the way.
Oh, well,
it was very good.
Thank you.
I think we're still kind of struggling with the more serious interview shows versus the funny shows, but we're getting there. But Ashwin, you know, God love him, sent, if you printed this thing out, it would be 3 or 4 pages.
A short novel.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And I wanted to respect his question because he was really enthusiastic, but come on, dude. I can't read all that to this guy. This guy's given up his time. He's got, you know, he's got a job. He doesn't have to talk to us, and he doesn't want to listen to your question, dude. That's pretty much it. But otherwise, as far as stupidity of questions, like as Matt says, no, that's pretty much our bread and butter. We're not doing a subject. We're not trying to sound intelligent on a topic, so...
Well, you know, I want to be clear that we're not trying to sound intelligent either.
Very well.
The last podcast we put up was entitled Elves Are Dicks. So, you know,
yeah,
think about that for a minute.
Well, they are dicks.
They are indeed.
Well, they make a damn fine cookie, though, don't they?
They do indeed.
Deke continues. Fourth, how you ever considered... How I ever considered...
How you hard to cone.
Leaving the silly world of podcasting and joining a comedic troupe like Monte Python, M-O-N-T-E, like Del Monte, I suppose.
Monte Carlo.
Broken Lizard or Linkin Park. I see what he's doing there. Yeah, no.
No.
No. Not leaving this silly world anytime soon. I'm not fed up with this world at all. Fifth, how did you know I was wearing pants?
We never said that we thought you were. I assume all people who write us a question aren't wearing pants.
I picture them in those short pants, the little, the half, like the schoolboy, like the Fin Fang Foom pants.
Oh, knickers. Yeah.
Is that what those are?
Knickers.
Those are knickers.
No, knickers are like English underwear, I thought.
Well, but they're also, I think the technical term is knickerbocker, and those are the like the schoolboy buckled just below the knee kind of pants from what, like the Victorian era. No, or whatever.
No, wait a minute. I mean, I freely admit often of my utter ignorance of all things sports, but is there not a basketball team from the great state of New York that called itself the Knickerbockers and is now referred to as the Knicks?
Well, maybe they named themselves after pants. I don't know.
They might the really New York like pants.
The New York pants. Very well.
Knickerbocker.
That's a fantastic
word. There's a Knickerbocker
word.
Hotel in Chicago.
It's a great word. It's a great,
entirely of pants.
It's a great old-timey word. Like, if you want to get on the trolley and go buy some Knickerbockers, it's, you know, 23 Skidoo, man.
I was thoroughly bamboozled out of my Knickerbockers.
Precisely.
Knickerbockers were our men or boys' baggy knee trousers, particularly popular in the early 20th century.
Very nice.
Knee trousers.
So much roomier than a pantaloon.
All right, next question. God damn it. Another one from Flonk. He writes, why do they make mannequins with nipples? That shit is freaky.
Because it's hot.
Do you think your girlfriend's nipples are freaky?
Yeah, you think he's got a problem with nipples? Is that the deal? Or?
Because let me tell you something. Yes. I don't know.
We were all very captivated by what you were going to say next about
yeah,
nipples.
I'm really sorry that I dropped the ball on that one, you guys. That was...
Let me tell you something. That is all.
Let me tell you, nipples are okay.
They're better than okay, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm a fan of keeping them covered.
Well, and you would think on a mannequin, you would think if you're say modeling a brassiere and you want to emphasize its nipple concealing fact, you know, properties.
Then how would you see the nipple?
Good point.
Well, you know the mannequin has a nipple, but you can't see it.
Because better question, why is Flonk looking down mannequin shirts all the time?
You know what? I think that's a better question.
That is an excellent question.
Best question is, where can I get a mannequin and all?
That may be the clumsiest portmanteau you've ever made.
I love it.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Next question comes from Dirk Walker, recent contest winner Dirk Walker, and he writes...
Contest winner, private eye.
Dirk Walker. He writes, Dear Algar, well, there's other people here, dude.
Yeah, what the hell?
How are you? Jerk. I am fine. What fictional gadgets or items, hoverboards, Batman's utility belt, Long John Silver's eye from Treasure Planet, would you put in your gift registry? Oh, he's asking about the wedding. Matrimonially yours, Dick. Dirk. Or Dick.
Dirk Dick.
Dirk Diggler. we didn't want gifts. It's a whole thing. It's, I did, I,
Well, no. You were unlikely to get a utility belt anyway, so.
Yeah, you never get what you want.
Let's say that it wasn't an issue, and that you were actually registering for household items.
The thing is, I'm 35 years old. I've lived by myself with the previous Mrs. Algar for quite some time. I have everything you need for a house. Like, I didn't want to buy you furniture. I have that stuff. I have that stuff from when I was married the first time. I have that stuff I've accumulated over the years. I don't need a pickle picker or a fucking, you know, high class blender. I got all that. I got it covered. That's one of the reasons I didn't want gifts, because I didn't want to get a bunch of stuff I'd feel bad about not using.
I'm personally of the opinion that you should get, like, on your 3rd to 5th anniversary, you should get a do-over on your registry, because you realize how stupid all the stuff you wanted was, and that you don't actually have any of the shit you need.
What the hell am I going to use a salad spinner for?
What the fuck did I register for a cordial set for? Why did I do that? Why did I do that?
It's a cordial set, exactly.
Yeah, you're losing me here. I have a cordial set.
I think it has to do with
drinking, but most things with you guys do, so.
Well, that's a slash roll. So it's like a little decanter, and then it's got a set of like little glasses that go with it. It's for something like something that you're going to drink in a small quantity, like a port wine or some kind of like after dinner liqueur or something like that.
Yeah, Jesse, I've only known you for a few months, but I don't know anything that you would drink in a small quantity.
What can I say? It's a valid observation.
Listen, you love life and you live life, and that's awesome. And that's not a judgment of any kind. It's just that's the way you live your life, and that's awesome.
What can I say?
But you're not a sipping wine kind of girl, as far as I can tell.
No, I'm at the bottom of my second glass already. I only started at 8.
Well, there you go. And for the listeners, it's not even 8 yet. So.
You silly West Coast people.
All right.
Time zones.
Silly way we may be, but at least we know what time it is.
Hey, I know what time it is.
I'm with Jesse here. Y'all's time is the wrong time.
Your time's wrong.
Yeah, see, this is going to be one of those pointless arguments where we say yes it is, and you guys say no it isn't. And I can see
eventually
where this ends
you guys
already.
Are gone, and we just declare ourselves the winners.
Yeah.
Well, you play dirt, Matthew.
See, because we can once we wrap up this interview, we can record a thing at the end where we get the last word.
We can go on our own show.
We will be recording a rebuttal, and that like 58 people will see it.
Yeah,
I'll have you know.
We've yet to give out any kind of a URL for that show yet, so any potential new listeners may not know where to find that rebuttal.
Well, you'll just edit it right out. Oh,
I wouldn't do that. But you do know why so many of our interviews are so pleasant now, because, you know, I'm the Ministry of Information. I control it.
Oh, my God. Is it 1984?
See, she doesn't even know what year it is. All right. Next question comes from Ted Bigsby, and he writes, "Dear Podquestrians," this guy's coming up with some pretty good.
Is that like equestrian?
Yeah, but podcasting. Earlier he called us, what was it, podcastronauts. That was a good one, too.
I'm quite fond of that one.
Yeah. Recently, it seems when I do my Mr. Burns impression, it's becoming more and more like Ronald Reagan. While I realize they're similar, how can I make sure I don't continue this regression? You've made a powerful enemy, Ted Bigsby. P.S. I was saying Boo Earns.
Your problem is that you need to say excellent more and well less.
He did say well a lot. Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier that in my head that they don't sound anything alike, but then when I try to do them out loud, they sound identical. And so now he's ruined my Mr. Burns and Ronald Reagan in the process. So thanks for that, Ted.
Simpson, God damn it.
Any thoughts, you guys? Any?
No.
No.
All right, then. Another one from Ted Bigsby.
Awesome.
Yeah, well.
Will.
Smith.
Can't see.
Will Smith. We could do this for hours, you guys. And probably will. Well, Willikins.
Yes, sir. It's very nice.
It's my Ronald Reagan. Listen, well, isn't that great? It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I can barely contain myself, so excuse me.
All right, next question also comes from...
I love Nick and Willikins a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, they're gonna be our legacy. People are gonna say Matt and Al, who? What? Oh, the Nick and Willikins show. Yeah, of course. That's fantastic. All right. Next question comes also from Ted Bigsby, and he writes: Noble Algar, Lady Algar by proxy. What? This sounds like your kind of froofy talk, Lady Lord Noble. What does this mean?
No, it would be like Algar, son of son of Shimon Algar.
God. Sir fought and Lady Guest.
Who fought at the Battle of Algar.
And this is Uncle Ted at the side of the house. And young Matt with the pinchable cheeks. Well, that part's true.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
How are
he
you?
Is adorable, isn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, he is.
Is he?
Isn't he just? he says, how are you? I'm covered in bees. Well, I approve of that. During dinner recently, some friends and I came up with a game in which we replaced actors in movies with other actors that had the same first name but different last names. Example, we had Kevin Sorbo in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Steve Guttenberg in Fargo, Robert Duvall in Iron Man, and finally Kevin Lynch in The Usual Suspects. My question is, what hilarious concoctions can you and your ragtag group of miscreants come up with? Your lowly fan, Bigsby Ted. So you guys catch the gist of that?
Yeah.
You take, like, the lead actor, but someone else with the same first name and throw them in there.
So
Titanic,
Batman Begins.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, there you go. That's excellent. Excellent. Or, Christ, I don't know. Now I can't think of a single movie. This is what this weekend has done to me. I can't, I'm actually can't think of the title of one movie.
I would Jurassic prefer... Park.
I don't remember who was in that.
So instead of,
Wow. If you play the Kevin Bacon game with me, you will win every time.
I guess. Jesus
Christ.
And
so instead of Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, we would have Jeff Bridges?
Right. Or
that would rule.
Or Jeff Foxworthy.
That would suck.
Is he the Get Her Done guy? No, that's the other guy.
No, that's Larry the fucking cable guy.
Who must die in a fire.
Didn't we kill him?
Yeah, he died in a fire.
Oh, nice.
We had an entire episode called that.
May he rest in peace. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. Man, guys.
He burned in hell.
I swear. Who are we talking to again? What am I supposed to? Yeah, I got nothing.
Dirk Diggler?
And he says, P.S., what the hell am I supposed to put in the subject line? That's a good question as well, actually. When people send you letters, what are they generally?
Spices.
We get all sorts of stuff.
So there's no uniform. Like there's no.
You know, actually, I don't even know. I suppose I could look.
Right now, we have a look at this link. Nothing.
Of course, you have it open.
Querytron's about men, and oh man, see what I did there. And looking at this now, we actually do have quite a few font questions in there right now.
Ah, fantastic! Well,
it has begun.
Yeah, well, we apologize for that.
They'll spread through your inbox like a fungus.
We apologize to Chuck and Mal, and we should apologize to you as well. Any shows that experience the natural disaster that is Kevin Lynch, I feel that originated here. That's our problem. We're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least it gives us something to talk about. So
yeah,
we're never at a loss for things to talk about. I mean, today I'm dragging a bit, but for the most part, you know, I could just say Human Centipede and listen to Matt recoil in horror for the next hour. That's, you know, there's no problem there. But I mean, you know, I've always got something.
You know what's worse than the Human Centipede?
Flunk?
If the front half of the Human Centipede starts eating the back half.
Ponder that, won't you?
I did.
All right. Next question comes from P. Lowe, and he writes, Dear Al, Matt, Laura, and Jesse. Oh, this one is for you guys as well. One, if y'all, where'd he come up with that? Where'd he talk
y'all.
Like that?
I don't know who says that.
From?
He must have gone to Hattiesburg.
What's he doing in Hattiesburg?
Kicking it.
If y'all were to pair up and battle each other in a tag team battle, who would you get to referee?
Are you volunteering?
Who, Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I think he'd be good.
I don't know that he could be, He could be impartial enough, though.
No, yeah. I was going to say he's probably going to be biased.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to think of, people that we all know that wouldn't lean to one side or another. I mean, you know, everyone has their favorites, and pretty much it's all you, but...
That's just because we have boobs. It's not your fault.
Well, I know that, but it still stands to reason that anyone of our mutual acquaintance is probably going to favor you no matter what happens.
Maybe we should pick up a hobo to do it.
A random hobo.
Okay.
I want the penguin because he looks good in vertical stripes.
Okay, he's dead, though. He died a long time ago.
The penguin?
Yes. Well, Burgess Meredith, I mean, after
his glasses broke. I don't want Burgess Meredith.
After his glasses broke, I can't imagine he just like, oh, well, I guess I'll go make some dinner. He just sat there until he died, I mean. But no, you guys mentioned the hobo thing, and I don't think this ever has come up on the show before. You know you're using hobo incorrectly, right? You know, every homeless person is not a hobo. A hobo fits a very specific definition.
Yeah, the hobos ride the rails, and they have bindles.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I have
a rail riding bindle waiver.
Hobos have not existed since like the 30s, since like the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression. They're not around anymore.
Hey, Al.
Yeah?
You know, if enough people say things wrong enough, it becomes right.
Ouch.
Ow.
Burn sauce.
You just stabbed me with the knife that I carved myself. That's
Jesus Christ. Give that a twist.
Yeah.
I love you, Laura.
Oh, I love you. I'm very anti the incorrect version of hobo for personal reasons, and so I stand by my use of hobo.
I just think the word hobo is funny.
I agree, but I think people use it incorrectly is all.
Oh, did you guys know that in Milwaukee there is a store, a home improvement store, and it's called Hobo?
Is that short for like home?
Homeowner buying outlet or some shit like that. But you'll never know what you'll find, but you'll always find it for less. And that's the truth. At Hobo.
All right, then.
All right.
You know, I was going to let you guys plug your show, but you've basically used up your plug there for the hobo. So,
come on. Cut us some slack, man.
Nope, no slack at all.
God damn it.
Maybe he can cut it with that knife you stabbed him with.
It was a friendly stab.
It was a shank of friendship.
Let's not go down that shank road.
Not the shank of anger.
No.
The shanger.
I was waiting for that. Stephen King's The Shanger this fall. Pat's second question is, why do you ladies hate me so much? I'm all about freedom.
Oh, God, Pat.
Can you sum this up without going too deep into the Tolkien stuff? Can you keep this kind of superficial and for guys like us who don't know what you guys talk about?
Pat and I have different views on elves.
Does he not like cookies?
He hates all things cookie and good.
And freedom. Don't listen and to him. Freedom. Don't listen to what he says.
That's so sad.
He's a communist.
That commie Pat Luka.
I don't think he's a communist.
Well, no, he's probably not a communist, but he likes elves.
All right. I mean, he seems to be a capitalist. Every time I see him, he's at a convention, like, selling things, and that's not very common.
Rolling fat bank, right? God.
He's...
Like all elf haters.
He's like a world-traveling, you know, bon vivant. I mean, he's like a...
famous? Because I'm kind of impressed by him, I'm going to tell you.
He's not unfamous.
He's well-known.
He's infamous? That means more than famous.
Yes.
All right.
I thought it meant famous for all the wrong reasons.
that's ultimate infamous.
Yeah. Ooh, very nice. Number three, not a question, but it's about the marriage. I don't want to talk about that. It's going badly. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for that. He's congratulating us. I appreciate that. And our final question comes from, I'll just click this here. Oh, it comes from Marissa. Very nice. Ladies, Algar and Matt, but mostly for the ladies. Better Carl Urban, fake Star Trek or Lord of the Rings? And if you guys don't remember, Carl Urban played Dr. McCoy in the new Star Trek, and I'm sure you know who he played in Lord of the Rings already. So I don't, but I'm sure you guys do.
That is a really hard question.
That's tough.
No, it isn't. It's Dr. McCoy.
Well, yeah, because our obvious preference is for Star Trek. I will say that the future second ex Mrs. Algar was quite a fan of young McCoy. I think she kind of gravitates toward the bitchy, you know, sarcastic guy for some reason. I can't imagine why, but seems to be her preference. He's got the best line in that movie where he's talking his way onto the Enterprise, trying to sneak Kirk on, and the security guy's like totally outwitted by his maneuvering. And he's like, "Very well, as you were," and Bones goes, "As you were," like it's an insult. Like somehow he turns it around on him, "As you were,
man after my own heart."
Yeah, fucking fantastic.
He was fabulous in that movie. Yeah, he really was.
Yeah,
it's really hard for me to decide.
Well, I think was he in more than one of the Lord of the Rings films? Because then it's kind of an unfair fight. If he was in like all three of them, then you got way more of him than you did.
Well,
in Star Trek,
you know? I don't know that that's necessarily a fair assessment because you know there are three movies, but it was all one long storyline, and he played one part in this sort of epic thing. So
sure, but in terms of
who was he? Not that I'll know.
He played Éomer.
Okay, but even if it is all one big story, you're still talking 12-hour thing versus Star Trek was 2 hours at best, and he was not the main character in that. So you probably got a lot more of him.
He wasn't really a main character in the movies.
Okay.
He was an important secondary character. I would say probably screen-wise time, if nothing else, at least even, if not more screen time in Star Trek.
Very well.
Yeah, I've got to go with Lord of the Rings, though.
He was just really cute, and like
he had that whole rugged thing going on.
Yeah,
now, was he some kind of a race that isn't human? Like, did they give him pointy ears?
No, he was human.
No, he was actually of the race of men.
Okay,
yes.
Now I know from watching some behind the scenes stuff and all that he's a Kiwi, he's a New Zealander. What did he have his accent in the movie, or was he trying to sound like English or American?
He toned it down, like pretty much everybody did. They had dialect coaches and stuff like that.
Sure.
The only one who didn't was Billy Boyd, who's Scottish, and he just sounded Scottish through the whole thing.
And that's adorable.
But it worked. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. But no, he didn't sound Kiwi.
Okay.
During it, but he did a really good American accent, though. I was pretty impressed.
Well, I was not aware. I mean, he didn't quite get the, and I'm sure Laura, you know this better than I. He didn't quite get the Southern drawl exactly right for Bones. There was a time or two where he tried something and I like kind of cringe. Like
the Southern accent's very hard to get right unless you actually have it, despite what people think.
I think the problem a lot of actors have,
they overdo it.
My problem is I have an ear for voices and dialects. I just can't duplicate them. Like it's pretty useless because I can tell the difference, but I can't mimic them in any way. But there's a lot of different kinds of Southern accents, and actors don't pick up on the difference between like a Louisiana and a Texas or a Georgia. You know, like it's all the same to them. And so they're like mix and matching, and it doesn't really work.
No, we mock them. Well, I mock them.
Of course you do.
He just should have been from Wisconsin. Because it would have been a lot easier, I think. As you were. Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't know that most of the Midwesterners that I've known don't really pull off that grumbly sarcasm very well. They're pretty too open there for that. You know, they can't really be, kind of sarcastic there. They just kind of...
I don't know.
What you we hear is what you get, you know?
I may throw up on you, mister.
I just think I'm going to barf.
Nice. Yeah, see, now I expected when I fired up you guys' podcast for the first time, I expected you to have ridiculous, exaggerated accents for Laura to sound like, I don't know, Deputy Dog or something, and for Jesse to sound like Fargo. Unfairly, but that's what I expected. And you guys, you have traces of, you sound like where you're from, but it's not distracting. It's not overpowering.
Well, that's good because I do kind of live in fear that I sound really, really annoying, but talking to you about this before, actually. I went to college in Chicago and I was a voice major. So we spent a lot of time working on, you know, pronunciations of foreign languages and stuff like that. So I really think that probably had an impact on the way that I end up talking in real life. So I don't really sound like I'm from where I'm from quite as much, you know. But when I start drinking more, it gets worse.
Yeah, there are times if I'm drinking, the Southern drawl definitely comes out.
I've noticed that a little just on the Skype parties and so forth. Sometimes it tends to come out a little more, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she's had a few more rum drinks than she's...
Yeah.
Whereas the future second Mrs. Algar, I gotta practice that. I gotta spit that out fast every time I say it, because just saying Amanda's no fun. She definitely gets a little more Canadian when she has a few drinks and definitely starts, sorry about that and that sort of thing.
That's awesome.
I have never noticed that.
Well, of course you have.
Well, you're Canadian.
I don't know what to tell you.
There is no accent as far as you're concerned.
That's right.
Unless you say Deckel. And then
what is Deckel?
That was
it's a real thing that exists.
On the show that Tidro was on a few weeks ago, we were talking about stickers that you apply to a thing.
Oh, a decal.
Yes. But
it's a decal.
You call it a decal?
It's a decal.
And see, I thought Matt was just maybe he'd only seen it written down before and he didn't know how it was pronounced and it was kind of a slip up, but no, Amanda says it the same way, and I believe Sabrina said it the same way, and so maybe that's the Canadian pronunciation, or maybe they're all banding together and making us look bad. I don't know.
It's spelt with U's.
Jokal.
The U is silent and invisible.
So it's a ninja U.
Yes.
Possibly a drop bear. Very well then. All right, ladies. Unfortunately, we're running short on time here. Tell the fine folks how to get to your program.
You want to do it? You're the PR professional.
Okay, we are at thegirlswithglasses.blogspot.com for our website, where you can get links of all our shows and stuff. And from there, I think we have an email link, do we?
Yes, there is an email link, but if you wish to just put, what is it? GWDTTpodcast@gmail.com is our email address. If you wish to send us a question,
we'll throw all this stuff in our show notes too. If you're trying to feverishly find a pen and write this down, you just can't. Like, we'll give you links. Go to our page and we'll tell you where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find us on iTunes.
Yes, we're on iTunes.
Very nice.
Or on Twitter, we're always talking about stuff.
Oh yeah, and they're very much a part of our little goofy Twitter circle. I mean, if you're not following these guys, you're missing out on a lot of the goofy shit that we do. So,
yep.
It means you're just not trying hard to cone.
You should try harder to cone.
I'm trying so hard.
Trying so hard to cone.
Oh.
Do you have any personal junk that you want to pimp, Laura? Like a blog or something?
No, I don't.
I will also give you guys the opportunity to properly represent your show. You talk about Tolkien and Lord of the Rings and all that, but I mean, obviously, as an outsider, as someone who doesn't read that stuff, I may not be selling it as well as you can. So give a quick, like, what do you do? Like, how do you sell your show to someone who a potential new listener?
Oh, well, we are a podcast about Tolkien, and we don't talk about just Lord of the Rings. It's Tolkien's works as a whole, and we try not to get lectury. It's, a low-key thing for people who have never read any Tolkien, or for people who love it and read it every single night. We encompass all.
Very well.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We're a podcast of hobbits, elves, and awesome.
We are.
Very cool. All right, ladies, I appreciate you being on, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon. And
thanks for having us. It was big fun.
Lots of fun.
And we're going to stop talking now.
Talking now.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, @RobotMatt and @Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010. He was a suburban child
of the 70s. I'm a knife, knifing around. Cut, 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 cut,